going to find their seat. And we can accommodate everybody here. Let me welcome you to the presentation of preliminary non-audited financial results for 2018. Of course, with me, there is CEO Michał Gajewski, CFO Maciej Reluga, Wojciech Skalski, the head of the financial accounting area, Carlos Polina, in charge of accounting and financial control area. And I'm Agnieszka Dowrzycka, in charge of investor relations. Mr. President, over to you. Good morning once again. I'm happy to see you in such big numbers attending our conference. As Agnieszka said, this is preliminary financial report, non-audited figures for 2018. We expect that on the 22nd of February, we will have audited figures at hand. 2018 abounded with many key developments for our bank. Well, let me start with the summary of merging with the carved-out business of Deutsche Bank that took place in quarter four. That was the weekend of the 9th to 12th of November, during which for the first time this type of the merger model was executed, because it included both operational and legal merger, and it was the first time it was done this way on the Polish market. And that started with the registration in the National Register of Businesses and was completed with the migration of products and services used by Deutsche Bank clients to our bank. This also was associated with activating our mobile online services for these clients. 2,000 people were involved, including over 700 people from the IT units. All the tasks and activities were actually planned in depth in that area, because there were more than 5,000 tasks. So once again, we provided evidence that we are experts in merging banks. Let me remind you that it was a carve-out, that by the 9th of November, two banks were working independently. And I'm of the opinion that this was done really efficiently. And we could welcome nearly 400,000 of new clients in our bank after that weekend. Now, let me refer to a thing which is equally important, as you might remember. That is why we took a decision to take this carved-out business, not only because of the balance sheet and improvement of the performance, but also because we wanted to increase our share in the private banking area. At the moment, the number of clients with liquid assets over 1 million increased materially. We think that we have the biggest number of such clients on the market. We want to strengthen this business line further and become the bank of the first choice for private banking clients. Let me move to slide number 5, that outlines the effects of the merger. But it also depicts what part of that growth was fueled by the merger alone and what was the result of our core business. Material growth in the balance sheet, 35%. It seems that 206 billion, that's the balance sheet total that ensures us the second position in the banking sector. This was fueled by the growth in gross loans by 26%. And it's worth noting here that if we took into account the fair value of the taken over loans from Deutsche Bank, that was 18.8 billion. And even excluding that, the growth in loans was more than 10%. Of course, we took over a non-matched balance sheet. There were fewer deposits. Because because, as you might remember, there was a liquidity gap because the deposits to clients were worth 13 billion. But in the case of deposits, if we wanted to compare apples with apples, that is, if we took on into account the organic growth alone, it was 22%, which is a robust growth. Of course, that translated into the growth in our market shares. In loans, it is 12% now, and in the deposit market, it's 12.1%. This also translated into the growth in the number of clients. We nearly have 7 million of them in place. And we took over 397,000 clients from Deutsche Bank. So these are the key figures. Slide number 6 is the basis to talk about the business and another important milestone for 2018, that was the rebranding and all the actions related to building the awareness of our brand, built on our brand promise, that is security and innovativeness. There were many actions related to that also in quarter four, which was noticeable on the market. We were appreciated by the Banker magazine, both in terms of our strategic achievements and the growth in our business and liquidity, but also we were awarded for the way of taking over Deutsche Bank. We were also recognized for building our private banking business line. Slide number 7, that is retail business. Talking about flagship product, that is the account as I wanted, we have as many as 1,130,000 clients. There were also impressive growth on the credit side, especially when it comes to mortgages, 31% year-on-year up. Also a double-digit growth in cash loans, that is 17%, and of course growth in deposits by 38%. Slide number 8 outlines what we've done next to merger and rebranding, that is the development of our digital channels. Our clients who have access to electronic channels, this is the number of 4 million nearly. And you can see a big number, big growth in the number of active clients. That is 14% growth year-on-year, which is more than 1.3 million of those who are availing of mobile banking. Also, the number of transactions done via mobile channels saw a significant growth. We are the best bank in payments. We have all the tools required. We have 331,000 who already use these modern payment methods that you can see here on the slide. Fitbit Pay was the last innovative tool introduced by us. Biometric identification is used by as many as 120,000 clients on a regular basis. It is also worth saying about the new solution Santander One Pay, that was the result of our collaboration with the group based on blockchain technology of Ripple. And the number of users of that solution keeps growing, and the number of transfers between Poland and UK are on the high. The last thing, our Kantor, the foreign exchange platform, we have as many as 283,000 clients actively using it. Slide number nine
is about our SME business, and that includes customers with annual revenues of up to 8 million We see dynamic growth in loans, 12.4 billion. That's up 26% year on year. Deposits up 31% year on year. We have good credit fee income, very good figures. We're implementing innovative solutions, action.govosh.jawalnosh.pl for sole traders. We also launched a business account by click and split payment. That's a sub-account for VAT. In terms of business and corporate banking, we focused on strategic sectors. We have a double-digit growth here in core customer revenues. We've been supporting our customers that want to expand internationally. In foreign trade, we have a growth of 15%, so good performance in this business line also. Now let's just move to corporate and investment banking. We were ranked first on the capital markets in terms of stock and bond issues. We deployed solutions for our international customers using different systems. So one of them is Santander Cash Nexus, which is a simple and fast communication tool used by our international customers. It's a group solution. So trade finance up 35%. So very good performance here. Let us move to slide 12 that shows you the basic financial highlights. Net interest income up 9%, fee income up 2% year on year. Net operating income went up 13% to 8.7 billion and attributable profit up 7%. Reaching almost 2.4 billion. Slide 13 shows you our capital position, all in line with the regulator. Tier 1, 14.83, TCR 16.7. Here we include the capital acquired through stock issuance for Deutsche Bank. So we estimated those positions, assuming that we complied with all the formal regulations from the regulator. In terms of dividend, we comply with the payout criteria for paying out 25% of the profit for 2018, and as I've always said, our dividend policy is that we want to maximize the returns for our shareholders. We also have the retained profit from the previous year that we would like to pay out. The efficiency ratio, cost to income 33.1%, return on equity 11.9%. We're one of the leaders in the group, and very good liquidity position. We have excess liquidity that we generated in preparation for the merger with DB. I will be talking about it, more about it later. Now let me hand over to Maciej. Just to give you the macro background and our expectations towards 2019 and the reality of 2018. So our projections surprised to the upside. As you see on the slides, our estimate for GDP for 2018 was above 5%, so more than we showed a quarter ago. Inflation proved lower for we are not changing our provisions for 2019-2020. We lowered the estimate for consumptions and increased the estimate for investment. Domestic demand should be okay. The biggest risks we may come from the outside. There are certain negative trends in foreign trade and how those trends will continue. Our main assumption is that the slowdown in Europe will not affect us very much, and hence the slowdown of GDP below 4%. But as we know, this is above the potential, so we have robust growth supporting the banking sector. Going back to the inflation, our forecast for 2019, we adjusted that to the downside. We have a different starting point now. I don't want to go into detail about the energy prices, but we assume that the trend for the target will go upwards, and the inflation will stay below the target, but the trend will be upwards. The lower inflation will impact the low level of interest rates. You remember a quarter ago we were showing you that the hike of 25 beeps is possible in late 2019. You don't see that on the charts now. As you see, we're looking to what the NBC are saying. But as you see on the slide as well, we also assume that the rising inflation and the closed demand gap, the rising prices, might force interest rate normalization. So something that happened in the projections is that we moved the hike from 2019 to 2020. Being fully aware that this won't happen in 2019. In terms of loans and deposits, the second part of the year and the Q4 especially, is when the positive trends strengthened, and this was reflected in our performance. We generated very high sales in retail business, solid growth in corporate banking in terms of loans. In terms of deposits, we were able to generate excess liquidity, especially visible in late 2018. For 2019, we assume loan growth pace similar to 2018, maybe slightly slower. We, of course, want to outperform the market, but this will depend on the exact segment. We can talk about it in detail later once we go through the financial results.
Thank you, Maciej. Now, let us talk a little bit about balance sheet. Let us start with loans. A very successful year when it comes to the growth in lending. 26% year-on-year. If you look at the quarter four alone, it was 16%. And to a large extent, this growth was driven by the takeover of Deutsche Bank. Talking about the pace of growth, the biggest growth was recorded for mortgage loans, which is 32%, with a decline of mortgage loans in Swiss francs by 9%. At the moment, we were able to reduce the, we are off the second criterion for paying out the dividend because now the share of this loan is below 10% at 9.2%. This was also a good year in terms of lending for Santander Consumer Bank because they registered an 11% growth in financing retail clients. I will not remind you which part of the balance sheet was taken over from Deutsche Bank. I've already mentioned that. Moving to slide number 20, customer funds and deposits. The customer funds increased by as much as 29%, while deposits alone by 36%. Net assets under management in mutual funds reduced, however, down to 15.4 billion, which was driven by redemptions, and that was one of the reasons for the growth in our liquidity, and I'll tell you about that a little bit more later. Moving on to the profit and loss account, slide number 21. The net interest income increased by 9%, and this is as much as 5,074 million. In quarter four alone, we exceeded the net interest income of 1.5 billion. It's worth mentioning net interest margin and why it squeezed down to 3.52% in the last quarter. There were a few reasons for that. First of all, this was driven by financing the liquidity gap, and that actually worked on the upside because low interest rate-bearing liquid assets were replaced by assets of Deutsche Bank. On the other hand, however, the other assets of Deutsche Bank and the taken-over deposits were bearing lower margins than the one generated in our group. I'm not comparing that to the margin of Santander Consumer Bank, which is as high as 8% or even higher. Last but not least is that the reduction of NIM in quarter four was the result of excessive liquidity that was invested in liquid assets. With the profitability lower than the average for the bank's assets. And all that took place towards the very end of the year. If we look at the position between August and November, then the NIM was stable. But in the middle of November, we had big flows among banks. The redemptions of mutual funds continued as well. Plus, there were individual transactions with our clients that boosted the liquidity towards the very end of the year. We treat this excessive liquidity as a temporary phenomenon. We will optimize it. And this is already happening in the first weeks of January. And this should improve the position sustainably over the next quarters of 2019. Slide number 22, net fees. It was 2% higher. We are happy, especially when it comes to credit fees, which recorded growth by 16%, FX fees, which increased by 14%, and debit card fees, which increased by 6%. But there was one big non-recurring event that impacted this growth of only 2%. That is, these were the costs of fees paid by Santander Consumer Bank to as compensation to the institutions intermediating in their business, and that drove down our quarterly results by more than 30 million zloty. And of course, there is a challenge related to fees in the area of mutual funds. There is also some stabilization in brokerage fees and insurance fees, and that's a challenge ahead of us for this year. On slide 23, we have the total income growing by 13% on a comparable basis. Year on year, without Deutsche Bank, it would have been 8%. In the very quarter, the impact of Deutsche Bank was 22%. If we look at the total income, for the first time we exceeded the net interest income of 1.5 billion. It was another quarter when this income was over 2 billion, and even if we strip off the gain on acquiring the carved out business of Deutsche Bank, it was still above 2 billion. And that gave us the solid attributable profit of 2.4 billion zloty, despite the fact that there were important material costs related to Deutsche Bank acquisition and our strategic projects. I can tell you that our ambition is to improve our performance this year. This is the ambition of my team and myself. Subsequent slides will be reviewed by Maciej. On that slide presented recently, there is the line showing the gain on acquiring the carved-out business of Deutsche Bank of nearly 400 million. We realize that it was difficult to forecast because of potential adjustments. So on the next slide, we will focus on outlining, the summarizing the transaction and its preliminary settlement. There are two tables. The first one is quite self-explanatory. There are no surprises. The second one shows the consideration paid compared to fair value, which gives us this preliminary gain. What were the adjustments to the fair value that are worth mentioning, which are outlined here, but nonetheless, let me explain them and add a little bit more to what is written. There were some adjustments on the non-performing portfolio, but relatively these were marginal amounts. When it comes to the performing portfolio, there was an adjustment due to lower margins on as compared to the benchmark portfolio in our bank. And this negative adjustment will be amortized in the periods to come. The third element that had the biggest impact was the capitalization of the cost of intermediation in the acquired business, and they were written off in full. That is, the cost of intermediaries that would normally be shown in the profit and loss in the periods to come, they will be not done here because they are written off fully, and that's the amount of 230 million. And the last element impacting that is a mere 200 million. Is the recognition of intangible assets related to saving and investment products. And all these adjustments give us the fair value at 1.7 which gives us the gain on the acquisition of 388 million. Other elements that are worth mentioning here, summarizing preliminarily, let me emphasize that, are as follows. And you'll see that quite soon on the slide outlining the provisions. Is the impact of additional provisions under IFRS 9 in stage 1, that's 130 million. And this is without the tax effect on a before-tax basis, and it's a one-off. When it comes to the cost of integration, that were discussed quite a lot in the previous year, and they were to be in the order of 100 million, they are a little bit higher, but still, I think this is within the tolerance level. If you're interested in details, you can look into the report because you have a detailed breakdown there. And the third thing is the impact on the capital. When we were announcing the transaction more than a year ago, we were talking about the potential impact based on preliminary estimates of 65 basis points. The preliminary calculation is 74 basis points for the time being, which is driven by a bit lower gain on the acquisition and the elements that I've already mentioned earlier.
Operating expenses and provision coverage. Slide 25 and 26. The dynamics behind the costs stays the same after the third quarter. No surprises. The costs of integration are, of course, included. For 2019, I said the integration cost would be divided into 100 and 100, and then the rest, and we maintain that. Administration costs in Q4 were similar to those observed in Q3. We have, of course, higher costs following the integration with the demerged part of DB. But also we observed a significant decrease in IT costs. We'll show that in detail in our report on the 22nd of February. Staff costs up 7% quarter over quarter, and that, of course, is the result of the integration with the demerged part of DB, and that we have that our workforce is larger. Provisions, the effect of the 130 million of IFRS 9 on the acquired portfolio. If we cleanse the portfolio of that effect, we would be at the similar level to the guideline. In Q4, especially in SCB, we had the NPL sales. We'd had some effect. But we are around the guideline of 80 beeps. And that's the level we're expecting also for 2019. We see a reduction of coverage ratio. We see a lower coverage ratio. And this could be the effect of the NPL sales without impact on the result. We have the scale of it in Q4 and the impact on the result. If we sold a portfolio with very high coverage and we had a new default that entered the non-performing portfolio with a low coverage, hence the reduction in the overall ratio. We also have the POTI effect here because of the full implementation of IFRS 9. So we see the effect of that on particular ratios. So that's all in terms of loan loss provisions. The cost of BFG KNF, that's comparable to Q3. We're on slide 27. Our sales usually refer to SME portfolios. So let's open our Q&A session. But just before we do, let's summarize. First of all, with successful integration, a lot of large projects. And despite that, we managed to generate very good performance. So we're now opening the Q&A session. Congratulations on the performance. I want to start. I want to ask you to comment on this year's dividend. You said that you comply with all the criteria to pay out the 25% of the profit for 2018. So, what my question is about the retained and non-distributed profit. What is the amount and how can it be paid out? And what about the time scale? Will you be paying out everything this year? That's an interesting issue. As we said, we complied with the requirements. And looking at the business growth, we are on the safe side. We have solid capital ratios. We have retained profit for both 2016 and 2017 and distributed profit. And according to our dividend policy, we do pay out dividend to our shareholders. We haven't taken any decisions either at the management board or supervisory board. We have started initial discussion with the regulator about the payout. We haven't heard anything back from the regulator yet. But we want to pay out that profit, also the undistributed profit. But there are two conditions. We need the green light from the regulator and the supervisory board. Remember, this needs to be approved by the annual general meeting of shareholders. I don't remember the exact amount. I think we're talking about 25% for 2016. We paid out 15%. Why not 50 if 50 is in our dividend policy? Let me remind you, 10% was allocated to IFRS 9 capital. So for 2016, we'd reach 40%. So 25% would be around 500 million. And 2017, we're talking about 50%. And that's slightly below 1 billion for those 2 years. The retained profit for potential payout is over 1.4 billion.
I have a question about the net interest margin that it will improve. You said it will improve to 3.8%, and you commented that it was actually changed, that it was flat and then it reduced. What is the starting opening basis? Because 3.8 is on average for quarters. What is it after December? What will be the opening position to getting to 3.8? In our presentation, it shows year period end figures and not averages. So if NIM started to build the if we started to build the deposit base, let's say in quarter two, where when we had the decline, then the decline continued over June, July, and August. Then from August to November, there was no change, which means that quarter two and quarter three and quarter three to four, we saw a decline because the stock that we acquired built up our liquidity excessively. The question is about the scale, how much it should grow in 2019. I think that 2017 is a good example when it comes to optimization of net interest margin and its growth. Everything, of course, depends on the market landscape and how it will look in terms of competition, both on the assets and liabilities side. So there are a lot of uncertainties, but because it's been commented before that it is to be up to 380. But can we grow up to the maximum seen in the history, nearly 4%? Of course, that would be an excellent growth, but probably difficult to attain. If we reach 380 over 2019, it will be the improvement by more than 20 bips, which is quite robust. A technical question. Because the guidance for integration costs for 2019, does it include any accrual for mass redundancies, or will that be on top of that cost next to that 100 million that you mentioned? If you might remember, the costs of integration as well as synergies were quoted in December 2017. The decision on intention to have mass redundancies was taken just some time ago, quite recently. But for now, the truth is that we shouldn't, but actually we cannot, refer to any estimates of costs related to mass redundancies because we are in the course of talks with trade unions. And on as soon as these talks are over, the decision will be published by way of a current report. For now, I propose we adopt this assumption that the cost synergies that we mentioned earlier and the cost of integration that we mentioned earlier, that they remain the same. But if, as a result of further discussions, and if there are changes because we change our assumptions, we will provide that information to the market. Any other questions? Please go ahead. Let me ask about the adjustments to the fair value of the assets of Deutsche Bank, the amortization period. What will be the timeline for that, for the portfolio? Well, that depends on the structure for mortgages. It will be 15 years for cash loans. It will be 3 to 5 years for SMEs from 5 to 7. So you would have to look on that on a case-by-case basis for the portfolio. So the reversal of will be linear for each of products. Not really, because that's amortized at the effective interest rates. So it's not really a linear amortization. But on a linear basis, it's a good rough estimate. I think we can say that the reversal of the adjustments at the fair value, that is the element for the performing portfolio of intangibles and the cost of intermediation. If we looked at the total net effect of the reversal for the next 3 years, I think we are talking about the amounts which are not material given our overall bottom line. But the question is what you think negligible, but the overall impact, I would put it like this, but the cost of intermediation, they would normally be recognized under interest income or under some other line. interest income, because we are talking about the capitalized costs under the concept of the effective interest rate that is amortized through the profit and loss. So everything will be reversed through the profit and loss. No, it will not be reversed because it was written off on a one-off basis, because the accounting standards do not allow to continue the standardized costs, the capitalized costs. I am talking about the net effect of the three elements, that is two reversals and one element that would be but wouldn't be because it was fully written off. And one more question referring to the stage one impairment allowances. It's 130 million at the moment of acquisition, but probably you had some write-backs on the old portfolios. That's what I've got. That's how I read that after quarter three and quarter four. Well, when analyzing the loan loss provisions, well, we isolate that amount because it's not distorted by anything. It's just the pure amount that arises from applying the acquisition accounting IFRS 3 and 9 for the first time in Poland and Europe. And we are the second World Bank that publishes the statements under this regime, because only the Scotiabank in Canada actually published their accounts under that regime. And it's a new thing, because under the previous regime of the previous standard, under IAS 39, when we were talking about losses made at the moment of acquisition and measurement at fair value, you didn't create additional allowances. Under IFRS 9, when we are talking about the expected losses, we treat the acquired portfolio just as a newly originated portfolio. So the loans that we actually grant today individually are at the fair value, while at the year end there will be stage one provision created. The same comes to the acquired portfolio. Well, the only difference is that we don't grant loans for 19 billion over one day. So actually that portfolio, performing portfolio, has double impairment allowances because Deutsche did it and you did it. But the newly launched loans work the same way, because the margin today, as to the principal, should cover the whole risk. And next day, they get the stage one allowance, so that's it. But these are the accounting principles. And the very last question about presenting the NPL data. You show the coverage for stage one to three, or what are you showing on that slide exactly? On slide number 26. Well, you will see more details on that in the annual report on the 22nd. Do you have any other questions?
Referring to coverage ratio, it went down to 52 for the blended portfolio. Is that the new lever for the blended portfolio? What is your ambition? Well, you maybe... I'm not sure if we will reach 60 bips because there are a lot of non-recurring events affecting that. I don't see any more questions. Thank you very much for this session.